Colossians chapter 3, as we continue the thankful series. Colossians chapter 3. Last week we were in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And if you remember, I just want to read the passage. So if you weren't here, you will get online and listen to this message. I believe that you'll be blessed by this. God's word says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this is where we're launching from in our series. Rejoice always, command. Pray without ceasing, command. At all times, give thanks. Command. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I love that passage of Scripture. This is God's will for you. So I've got to figure out God's will. Be thankful. Be thankful. If I don't know God's will, I'm trying to figure out if this is what God wants me to do. This is what God wants me to do. Be thankful. Pray. Rejoice. These things are what we ought to be doing in God's will. That is Christ Jesus. That is the will of God in Christ for you. I just want to encourage you now as we kind of keep turning the screws on Thanksgiving and thankfulness. As we look at Colossians chapter 3, this is a passage that we studied maybe last year at some point. And we looked at this passage, but we honed in on verse 14. Today, we're going to look at 15, 16, and 17. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump in. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? You excited? This is God's word for us. And this, imagine, because I believe this, that God wants you to have something today to walk away with that could potentially change your life. I believe that 100%. I believe God, the Spirit of God, has something for us today. And so imagine, would you be excited if we had if we knew that Jesus himself would become incarnate today and show up today and share with you something he wanted you to know? Would that have excited you? Do you think that if we knew that was happening, that the church would be full today? This church would be full, overflowing, be people in the hall. Man, Jesus is here, and he's got something to say, and I want to hear what it is. The church would be full. It happens every Sunday here. God has something for us, and that's exciting. God wants the Spirit of God is going to, here's how it works. I'm going to say some things that I feel led to say, things that I've studied. I'm going to ground them in what God says in his word. And the Holy Spirit is going to fortify that. And he's going to begin to speak to you in your heart. And that's a powerful thing, something we don't understand. But that is how it works. And it's an exciting thing. And so are you ready to hear from God this morning? Are you excited to hear from God this morning? Amen. I know it ain't football. It ain't Ohio State. It's better. Undefeated. Amen. What God says is true. And we're privileged to hear from him. Let's pray and prepare our hearts for what God has to say. Lord, we love you. We pray that you just speak to us today. And we understand your work in this process. Accomplish it to the fullest. Lord, help us to have hearts ready and cultivated to hear your word and for fruit to be born of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of Christ, verse 15, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be, everybody with me, thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with everybody with me, thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving everybody thanks through him to God the Father. A little bit of a theme there. Three verses, three times in which we're told to be thankful, to give thanks, to have thankfulness in our heart. Three times. I think this is a theme here with Paul a little bit. In the previous verse, verse 14, if you remember, and I'll never forget this message, but at last year where we talked about the bond and unity, the bond of love that creates unity in a church. How many remember that? Because I gave an illustration about putting the wrong kind of glue down for some tile, and it was really, really strong glue, and it was hard to fix some errors that I made. If you remember that story, then you'll remember this particular sermon. And so equal to this idea that we ought to love one another and be united in a bond of love, in a super glue of love for one another, that's what unites us. What unites you and I, not to re-preach this message, but it's important, the thing that unites you and I and what keeps us from separating, that's what unity is, right? Keeps us from separating. The thing that does that is a bond of love for one another. So that you could do me very wrongly and badly, and I'm not intent to find another body of believers to serve in because my love for you is greater than the wrong imposed on me. How many are following what I'm saying? That's basically what we're talking about. So in a church context in which unity is the thing, what happens? What happens in a church context in which we love one another? So this is a given. We love one another well enough that we're united despite our differences, despite the differences in what we might believe or differences in how we feel or whatever, that we're united because of love for one another. This is the next step to this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I just want to talk about this for a minute. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So I love this idea of peace. And we'll learn in a moment that peace and thankfulness are two sides of a coin, as it were. Let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. What are we talking about? Well, first of all, if you are in Christ, I don't have the peace of Christ. In order to have the peace of Christ, you have to be in Christ. Understand? Everybody follow this. This is important so that we understand what we're talking about. If you are in Jesus today, if you're in Christ, in other words, you're in the body of Jesus, you have relationship with Jesus, then you have the peace of God in your life. If you're not in Jesus, God's word has a specific word to describe the relationship that you and God have, and that relationship is called enmity with God. That's a tough word, enmity with God. That means there's friction, there's a wall there. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then you are at odds with the God of the universe. There's a wall there. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, there's a gulf fixed. Another way that Jesus, that God's word puts it, a gulf fixed between you and God. There's a problem, and you're at odds. There's hostility, is another word for enmity. So you're hostile to God. At least that's the way God sees it. There's a hostility there. So all of a sudden, I have relationship with God. I'm found in Jesus, the peace of Christ. I'm found in Jesus. Now I have relationship with Jesus. In that world, the overarching relationship that we have with God now is not hostility, but it is peace. Right? I have peace with God. I have a relationship with God. Now I'm at peace with God. God's not angry with me. God's no longer hostile towards me, and I'm not hostile towards God. There's a peace treaty that now exists in which, more than that, there's peace. I'm in a family with God. I've been adopted into a family. I'm at peace with God. That peace that we find with God is the thing that ought to rule over your hearts. God's word, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, that's not just peace as it relates to God anymore. In other words, I have peace with God. No, I'm at peace. I'm letting the peace of God rule in my heart. So this relationship that I have with God now, that's at peace with God, now extends into my life so that now peace is the way that I live. I'm at peace. I'm at rest. Peace is contentment. It's at rest. I don't feel worried. Right? I'm at peace. Remember, this is important now. Is everybody following me here? So if you have a relationship with God, you have a peace relationship with God, and that structure, that reality of the way that I interact with God now at peace extends to my life. I'm a person of peace. I have peace. And that peace of God rules in my heart. It rules. That word for rule is interesting. As a reminder, and you may have written this in your Bible because I'm sure I said this before, but the word for rule is the same word from which we derive the word and the idea of an umpire. So it delivers a verdict. So I understand how this works a little bit, and this is not a criticism against anybody of Ohio State persuasion. Understand. But I find it remarkable because Alabama fans don't do this as much, but I'm not criticizing. But I have found that when Ohio State loses, and this is not a criticism, everybody receive this in the spirit of love now. There's a bond of love, amen? The bond of love, that one of the reactions, and this is not unique to Ohio State, this is a lot of fans, just not Alabama fans, that one of the reactions is the calls were terrible. That should have been a flag. Look at what happened there. This is unfair. It's a general sense of discontentment about the calls, right? A general sense of not fair, I'm discontent, the call was bad, Ohio State never gets a fair shake as far as the referees go. That basically is true in my experience, having lived here as I have, of the reaction to the referees. And I like this analogy. It does happen to Alabama, I get it. This analogy is important because it colors and informs us about what it means for Christ to rule in your hearts. The peace of Christ to rule in your hearts is that the peace that happens in your life, that exists in your life, delivers the verdict for the circumstances in your life such that every time something happens, the verdict is peace. When I don't have my way, the verdict is peace. When circumstances don't hit me like I like and I'm in a bad place in my circumstances, the verdict is peace. The thing that rules is, and the last say, the final authority, the thing that has sway over you is peace. That's the verdict. It rules in your life. Peace. got that ticket that you didn't like, that was unfair. Peace. You got the diagnosis that wasn't helpful and is now terrifying. The verdict is peace. You got the slip of paper that indicates that you have 2 months left at this particular job. The verdict is peace. The peace of God rules over you, and it extends into all of our life. There's no Christian life and secular life. There's not what happens at work and then your Christian life. Work is your life, and your Christian reality, the reality of God's peace, extends to that. You can't disagree. The injury, peace. The bad news, peace. It's the verdict. And so, and it rules in your notice, rules in your hearts. Like, this is deep. This is not superficial kind of peace. This is the kind of thing that is core, central. Peace deep down. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, everybody got that? What's the verdict? Everybody say it with me. Peace. Say it with me. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. The extent to which this overflows in the body of believers. A love and a peace. And it almost seems, because really, if you read this, it might seem disconnected. I can't tell you. I read probably 3 or 4 commentaries this week in preparation for this study, and everyone said, this is an odd thing for Paul to say and be thankful, because it just doesn't seem to flow. As if you're reading it, you're just, oh, it just doesn't seem. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Oh, and it's almost like an afterthought. Oh, and by the way, be thankful. But indeed, it isn't that at all. Indeed, the reality is that when you find yourself in peace, the very natural overflow of that is a thankful spirit. Here's why. I think that this is why. If you're at peace with your circumstances, whatever it is, the job, the health, your career, your vehicle, the circumstance in your family, whatever it is, if the thing that rules and reigns in your heart is peace and contentment and rest, then you're not looking at circumstances as, I can't believe that happened, but your circumstances, you're looking at that and you're saying, I'm at peace with that, but and I'm thankful for what I do have. The extent to which there's peace that rules in our hearts is the extent to which we're content with what is, we're at peace with what is. And when we're at peace with what is, then we're thankful for what also is. So you can see how I think Paul is constructing an argument here that peace is a key element to being thankful. I was reading this week. I just want to, I feel led to say that I was reading this this week, Elizabeth Elliot, who is the, how many have ever heard the name Elizabeth Elliot? She was wife to Jim Elliot, who famously went to the Aka Indians in Ecuador in the 1950s, a famous story that I grew up hearing, and several missionaries, and the first day that they make contact and Jim is able to go to and actually go and try to talk to the Indians, and he's killed for his faith. Jim Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot wound up being, she passed less than a decade ago, but she wound up being one of the tremendous voices for the Lord in America. And she said this, and I think this has to do with peace a little bit. She says, God has promised to supply all my needs. What you don't have now, you don't need now. God has promised to supply all your needs. What you don't have now, you don't need now. If you don't have it, God doesn't think it's a need. He may not supply it now. If you don't have it now, you don't need it. I thought that is profound, and it's profound here because it is the kind of heart that kind of heart that she's talking about. Somebody that believes, listen, God's promised to supply all my needs. If I don't have it now, I don't need it now. Is a heart in general that's at peace with the circumstances. I'm at peace. And if I'm at peace, I'm thankful. Let the word, verse 16. Oh, by the way, I just want to say this. It's not just be thankful. You can make a note in your Bible, but the language in the original language, the Greek there, the kind of verb is the kind of verb that would indicate ongoing action. So some literal translations might say something like, keep being or keep becoming thankful. If you have peace, then you're going to keep being and you're going to continue being thankful. This is not a command. It's assumed reality. If you have peace, you're going to continue being thankful as a way of course, and this is going to be continual and ongoing. Keep being thankful. Notice verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell within you. Some translations say settle in you. I love that. Let the word of Christ be so in you that it just kind of settles there. Just is there, and it takes residence in you. Let the word of God richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. This is interesting, because here we're going to learn not just about peace and how this should extend to thankfulness, but also how it is that thankfulness plays out. One of the ways that thankfulness plays out in the life and context of a church. So let the word of Christ dwell within you, richly within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms. The psalms were predominantly music that was tied to directly to God's words. In other words, it would have been music that is, that the lyric is God's word. And that the goal is not to rhyme. The goal is just to sing God's word. Let the word of God richly dwell with you. How? What would that look like? Well, we need to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All of those good kinds of music to use. Not one over the other. All of them valuable to the church. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Okay, so let me understand, Paul. Let me understand. If I'm a believer and I'm found in Jesus, I have peace, And if that peace plays itself out into my life, I'm going to be thankful. Got it. Now, by the way, also in this world, in this Christian world, reality that we live in, you should also have the Word of God in you. And when that happens and you sing, you're singing thankfulness. So, peace, I should be thankful. No worries, got that. And the way that one way in which thankfulness plays out in the context of body of believer is that when we sing, we're singing with thanksgiving in our hearts. Any questions? Makes sense. It does beg the question, however, that if you sing, and everybody here sings, how much of that singing is a bubbling out of thanksgiving to God? And so we're so thankful for all that we have that we can't wait to get here and sing and express the thankfulness that we have to God with our voices when we sing. I have a story, two stories. When good things happen to you, your response is pretty exuberant, right? I mean, the good things happen is exuberant. So last night, I don't know what's funny yet. I don't know what's funny. People are already getting ready for a good story. So I can pick on Richard a little bit. Richard's not here, and this is to his detriment. And he wasn't feeling well, so. But I can understand. So last night at the, and if you missed it, you missed it. If you missed, I don't know what else to say. You missed it, you missed it. But Golden Gems were here for our, and I'm in that group because of my profound wisdom. You understand, Gene? So we were here playing games, game night. Gene, you had a good time. Do you have a good time, Gene? Amen. So Gene had a good time. We all had a good time. It was about 15 of us, and we were playing games last night. And I hadn't seen that. I played backgammon a lot when I was a kid in college, and Richard brought his backgammon game, and I gravitated to Richard, let's play. And I have to be honest. Well, you don't want a pastor who would lie, and so I'll just be honest about it. So anyway, I beat Richard twice in backgammon. I think soundly. I think he would say soundly. And I'm not bragging. I'm just being honest. And I felt really good about that, but I didn't want to, you know. And I felt really good about this idea of having. And I hadn't played in a long time, so I beat Richard. And I didn't play any other games at this point. The Alabama game is going to start, and I wasn't like on cloud nine or anything. I mean, I won a couple of games with Richard. But I was happy. You can understand. And I came home. So I kind of felt bad as to beat Richard. Kind of felt bad a little bit, beat Richard in backgammon. I left early because the Alabama game was starting at 7:30. So, and we played absolutely pathetically. So it became very clear in the last quarter that it was likely we would not win. And so Mike and I always watch the games together, and I told Mike, I'm going upstairs. I'm not going to watch the last quarter because good chance we're going to lose this game. And I got to prepare for Sunday, and mentally, you know, I don't like to get totally worked up in the negative. So I just went to bed, laid down. Kelly's like, why aren't you watching the game? We're going to lose, and it's not good. And I kind of figured, I told Micah, I'll know if we're doing well by your reaction downstairs. That's all I'll need to know. If we're not doing well, I won't hear anything. And so then I'll just be at peace upstairs, just thinking about the message. Thinking about Thanksgiving, amen, thinking about that. An hour later, Kelly and Micah both come up. We won. We won. I had no idea. So at that point, I could go back and watch it because I wouldn't be under stress. So I went back and watched it, and I was pretty pumped. Came back and won the game, and I was so excited about. And I was in straight depression. Find me some medicine to help me get through this. And all of a sudden, I find out that we win, and my mood totally changes, and I'm pretty pumped. Micah's like, oh, you know, because Micah unfortunately is a braggart, He did not want to have to face the ire of the Ohio State fans. So we were all glad that we won. So I was exuberant. Do you know why? Because the circumstances of my life fit a reality of what I wanted. That Alabama won, and there are bigger fish in the world, believe me, I understand. But Alabama won, and this is something that's important to us. Shouldn't be as important as it is, but it is. And we won, and my reaction to that was hardly something that anybody had to tell me to do. In the similar way, when your team of choice wins, the reaction is hardly anything that you need to do. You don't have to be coached to do it. Your reaction is very natural. Could I suggest that Thanksgiving is the reaction that we ought to have? The natural, uncoached, no pep talk needed. That the reaction that we have to the life that we find in Jesus, to the life of peace that we have with Jesus, the natural reaction for that, without being coached, without having to be told on Sunday morning, sing it loud, sing it like you mean it, without having to be reminded of how good God is, the natural reaction is for you as a body of believers to say, man, I'm in this zone already. I don't have to be coached about it. God is good. The peace that I found in Jesus is great. So thankful for the relationship that I have in God, undeserved, that the natural reaction to that is singing with thankfulness. That's the reaction. That is the natural in-game right now reality of the way that we ought to play out thankfulness in the context of the body of Jesus, unrehearsed, uncoached. You come in, you're thankful, you're gracious, you're thankful for all that God has done, and you come in and you can't wait to sing hymns and songs and spiritual songs with thanksgiving to God. That's the reaction. That's when we come in, how we play thankfulness out, apart from also saying, I'm so thankful for what God has done. Apart from doing that, the heartbeat is, God, I'm very thankful. I don't have to be coached. Nobody's got to pep talk me up about how good God is. I can't wait to come in and express my thanksgiving in song today. Just a question, is that, and I'm asking myself, would you say that that's the way you would describe your worship on Sunday morning, your worship Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, is I'm so thankful, I'm going to express my thanksgiving with song. Exuberance, that's the natural reaction of someone who has peace ruling in their hearts. I really think that's pretty good preaching. That's just me. I think it's hitting me. I would say that that is not the way that I come in and sing often. And I would say an expression of thanksgiving is done well in church in song. And it is the heartbeat of those that have found peace with God and whose peace rules and reigns in their hearts. And then verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed. Remember, last week in 1 Thessalonians, we talked about at all times being a translation that we would favor. Here, we see the other point very clearly, that whatever we do in everything, not at all times, but in everything. It's almost like this, and I think that I was thinking about this. There are stages of Thanksgiving. There's like kindergarten stage of Thanksgiving. Hebrews talks about it, is a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. It's like, I don't want to be thankful, but I guess I'll do it. I guess I'll do it. I'll make myself be thankful, and I'll sacrifice my time right now, because this is not naturally in my, I'll make a sacrifice of praise. That's kindergarten Thanksgiving. That's what we have to do with our kids often. It's like, hold on, you need to be thankful. Oh, you don't like the food. Be thankful anyway. Okay. I know that there are people in China, in Africa, that don't have as much of that. That's a sacrifice of praise. That's kindergarten thankfulness. All right? There is this kind of thankfulness, which is stage two thankfulness, which is be thankful in the things that you do. Oh, so I'm thankful now. In everything that I do, I'm going to be thankful. Mature thankfulness is the at all times in your heart, let it rule in your hearts, thanksgiving, where this is natural. We're growing up in thanksgiving. We're growing up to be thankful people. We don't have to be reminded of all that God does. We're thankful. It is just who we are. And so God's word says here, giving thanks through him in all things, in word and deed, with your hearts, right? We're thankful. Deep down, this is who we are. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving. So all this stuff that we do, man, all the stuff that we do, whatever it is that we do, whatever you do in word or deed, whether it's the things that you say, it's the service that you do in your church, whatever the things that you do in word or deed, all of that, do it in the name of the Lord. I'm doing everything I do, everything I say, it's in the name of the Lord that I'm saying it. Everything that I do, my service to my church, as a service-oriented ministry that I have to you, I'm doing all that stuff, and not just in the church, what I do on Monday through Saturday, also all that stuff I do, whatever I do in word or deed, I'm doing it in the name of the Lord. I'm doing it as a representative of God to the community and the world around me, and including my church. Everything, everything, whatever you do in word or deed, that's everything, what I say, what I do, all, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus as a representative of who God is. I get to represent God in this world as an ambassador of the kingdom of God. That's pretty big. That's huge. I represent the God of the universe in what I say and what I do. And so everything that I do in word or deed, I do it in the name of the Lord. Great, awesome. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. I assume that means that we're giving thanks because we have the capacity to be representatives of the God of the universe. I have listen, do you realize what a profound privilege it is? I can only imagine if I served in a presidential administration, which would be a tremendous dream. I would love to be sort of like a chaplain at the Capitol or something. That would be like what a tremendous honor it would be to serve at the behest of a president. Would that, you know what I mean? What a tremendous, tremendous honor to be a representative of this tremendous country in some way. I think that would be an honor to do that. And we have the profoundest honor in the world to be actual representative ambassadors, God's word says. We are ambassadors of his kingdom, and we get to speak and work and accomplish in God's name on his behalf. Is that an honor to anybody else? That's tremendous. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord. I get to serve under the umbrella of the God of the universe that created everything, and I get to do things in his name for his sake, for his glory. Okay, once I get how big that sentence is, I'm pretty in awe and thankful for the privilege. But in order to be thankful, you have to understand the privilege that it is that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you get to be in that world under that umbrella, that we get to serve in God's kingdom, in his name, the God that created everything. Once you understand that, you do it in thanksgiving. Man, what a privilege. It's not the President of the United States now. What we're talking about is I get to serve and I get to do things in the name of the Lord, the God that created everything. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. So whatever I do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. And this is the tremendous part, and I don't want to skip over, but through him to God the Father, this is a tremendous passage. We are not the person that we're giving thanks to is not to our family. We're giving thanks to the Father through Jesus. Jesus is the conduit. Jesus is the conduit. It's by him or through him. It's not. Because of him. Now, in the original language, you're giving thanks because of God. No, not because of Jesus. We're not giving thanks because of Jesus, although that's a good thing to do. But in the original language, this is, and it gets very complicated, but if you studied other languages, then you'd understand that this is in the dative, which means it's because through. This is in a case in Greek that indicates through, not because of. So Jesus actually gives us the capacity to be thankful to the Father through Jesus to the Father. And I think that's incredible. Giving thanks through him to God the Father. And so, peace passes all understanding, right? We have that. When we understand peace, we have a thankful heart when we're at peace with God. That thankfulness comes out in song in the context of church, but then in everything that we do, we're thankful, if nothing else, but that we have the privilege to work and do and represent the God of the universe in this world for his glory. And that's a tremendous privilege and honor. And I would say until you understand that privilege and honor, your Thanksgiving tank will be empty. But when you understand that you have the capacity to be in Jesus, to do things in him, through him to be thankful, that we are just basically, think about that. We are surrounded in every part of our life. Jesus is comprehensive. He gives us the thing to be thankful for. We get to speak on his behalf. We get to thank God to the Father through him. We are found in him. Well, this is comprehensive. The life that we have in Jesus is comprehensive. It goes everywhere. It extends to everything. It isn't limited to this hour and a half. No. We want to be a people that understand the comprehensiveness of what we have in Jesus. And if we could do that, then we would burst forth with just so much thanksgiving and so much work and service in the honor and work of God that people would just see that and say, man, there's something going on at United Baptist Church that is different than anything else I've ever seen. That's the kind of church that's contagious. Not, man, the people at United Baptist Church, boy, they're, man, so many bad things happening over there, and or just the people there are sour on everything. No, not the church that we want. We want the church that is so exuberant, thankful, loving God, just it can't be stopped in everything. We're just giving thanks for all the cuts. Imagine if every conversation you have with your neighbor is in the service of God in some way, and you're just so oriented around what God wants to do through you in them, and so you're serving them, and every conversation you have, you're saying, man, I'm so thankful to God today. Imagine if every conversation you had with your neighbor said, at the end, so thankful to God. Do you think that would make an impact in our streets today? God's calling us to thanks. I can't wait for next week. I cannot wait. Next week, we're going to be on the tail end of this message. Next week will be the last Thanksgiving message. I want you to invite people. You'll be blessed by next week's message today. Same way as last week. Can you let the peace of God rule in you in such a way? And can you allow the capacity to understand how big a world that you're found in Jesus? That permeates everything that you do such that you can't help but be thankful. It's the natural response for your week is to be thankful for all that God's done on your behalf.